Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. Welcome back. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be covering events again. I know I say this every time we do this now, but, you know, it's a renewed joy and gratitude, I guess. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You're right. It's weird because we've been in limbo for a hot second where it's always like, oh my God, we're doing this again, or this is maybe happening. And there is always like I never felt the end of last season, and now all of a sudden it's a new season, and that's weird, but exciting.
I've had to kind of approach it as though last season didn't happen and it wasn't a season. It was just a series of like specials, like in the same way that like there's the Downton Abbey season and then there's the Christmas special. Any event that happened was sort of the Christmas special.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to approach it, just because, well, you don't need us to tell you that the world was still very much broken and a lot of things are bad. But sports continue to happen, more or less. So we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, the Summer Olympics happened, which is, you know, not our domain. And you could spend, and I'm sure many people would spend an entire podcast or seven talking about, you know, the non-sporting implications of that. But it made me really excited for being able to follow events at the Olympics that I understand.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about the Olympics and why it should or should not be happening, but that's a separate episode and we'll get there. What I will say is I spent the entirety of the Summer Olympics and I watched a lot of it, just different random sports, you know, like you're supposed to. I spent the entire time just crying, just people would be winning things that I've never cared for in my entire life. And they would just look so proud of themselves. And I'm human, surprisingly. And I understand like the socio-political and capitalist undertones of what the Olympics actually is. But on a personal level, when you think about just like humans who've worked hard to get to a thing and then they get to win the thing, it just makes me very emotional. And I would be watching people like track and field or some shit like doing that. Or like I watched a lot of beach volleyball and people just like are so proud of themselves. And I couldn't stop thinking like half a year from now, this will be people whose journeys we've like very intensely been even more than ever followed in the past couple of years, like since starting the podcast and stuff. All of this to say I'm not prepared.
No, but sidebar, should we like say on the podcast that we're going to be together for?
Yes.
The good news about the Winter Olympics this year is that we will have each other because God willing and the crick don't rise and we're allowed to fly and visit and stuff. I don't actually have my ticket yet, but I have plans to go to visit Netta and Sophia, and we're going to watch the Winter Olympics in the same room and report on them from the same room for the first time.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so messy, but like in a good way. I'm very, very hype. I've warned my roommate. I was like, just so you know, our living room will be a press center for the Winter Olympics. He's fine with it. We're just going to get to cry and scream and report on it live. Again, God willing. It's going to be great. But to get there, we have to survive the first half of the season. We have the entire Grand Prix series to go through, which, I mean, it is already starting to, you know, events are being changed and canceled and all of that. So we'll see how it goes. But if everything is fine, we have all of the Grand Prix series to go through and everything that comes before that, and like the pre-season stuff and early season stuff, which is why we're here today. We're not talking about the Olympics. We're talking about the Cranberry Cup, which happened.
We are. And the funny thing about the Cranberry Cup is that I went on this like whole spiral where I was like sad the Olympics were over. And then I remembered that sports actually happen all year so I don't have to be sad.
All year, every year, surprisingly.
Every year, most years. And then I remembered that actually skating is starting very soon, and I looked up the competition calendar, and I saw the Cranberry Cup happening at Skating Club Boston. I was like, hold on a gosh darn second. That's quite close to where I live. Are there tickets available? Is there? And it all fell into place, and it was literally like a few days before. So this is not something I was planning like 4 months in advance. It was a happy accident that I discovered it a couple days before and not a couple days after. It worked out for once. So yeah, that was, thank you to the universe for sending me on that spiral.
I'm very grateful for your spiral, because how good was it to be experiencing things live and in person again?
It was amazing and also very weird. It was probably the biggest gathering of people I've been to in like a couple of years.
Amazing.
Probably since U.S. Nationals, actually, 2020. So yeah, it was wild. And it wasn't too crowded. Everybody was distanced. Everybody was wearing masks. So it was good in that respect. I didn't feel like unsafe or anything.
Mm. Shout out to the organizers and like people working the event for like making sure that y'all were staying safe and everything.
Yeah, and like Skating Club of Boston, it was at their new facility in Norwood, which is first of all like closer to where I live, so I love that, but also just gorgeous.
It is
and
so
new
beautiful.
And huge. Yeah, it was amazing. So that was really fun to see that, and yeah, it was just like it was surreal. Like it's always a little surreal to see anyone you've seen on TV in person. But just the added extra layer of, like, this hasn't happened for me in a while.
Amazing. Well, here's hoping that, like, we get to go back to more of this and more in-person stuff sooner rather than later. This feels redundant. I feel like we've been talking about this for a while. Let's talk about the actual event.
Let's do it. And I should mention, I was only there for the free skate. I had a family obligation on the day that the short programs happened, so I only was there for one day and only saw the free skate. But I did watch the short programs on video afterwards. I'm ready.
On demand.
On video. On VHS. Coming soon to your home.
Blockbustering the Cranberry Cup 2021. This might be offensive. I don't know why it's called the Cranberry Cup, but I think it's charming, and I wish every single event and competition was named after fruit.
I agree. I think cranberries are very New England-y. I don't claim to know the like full agricultural significance or like where they're grown most or whatever, but I know they are like a Northeast thing, and I know that one time my family stayed at a beach house in Cape Cod, which is also in Massachusetts, that overlooked a cranberry bog, so I do think they are native to Massachusetts.
Wow, amazing. I love cranberries. Let's talk about the senior single freestyle skate events at the 2021 Cranberry Cup International, which happened, and it was awesome. Do you want to start with women?
Sure, yeah. I think that makes sense for me because that was the order they skated in, so
yep.
That's easier for me to, yeah.
Oh, before we talk about women, let's just quickly say the ISU has officially changed its verbiage, and now we say women's figure skating as opposed to ladies' figure skating, which, I mean, we've been doing for a while, but it's cool that that's official now.
Yeah, unfortunately, they did shoot down the proposal to change men to cat boys. But you can't have everything.
Yeah, we're going to have to live with this performative gender equality that we have now and no cat boys, which is devastating. But we do officially get women's senior women's figure skating, which is awesome.
We do. So I guess we could do what? Top six?
Yeah, we can do top six. I guess we were talking about this before we started recording. I feel like it's too early in the season to like really go into people's programs and stuff. But I do want to talk about like everyone who was there. So let's just like talk.
Okay, let's do it. Usually we like lead up to the podium. Maybe we should start with the podium and then, yeah. So the podium ended up being in first place, Alyssa Liu, second place, Young Yu, and third place, Mariah Bell.
Amazing.
I felt after seeing the free skate, regardless of my personal feelings of, you know, subjective aspects of those three skaters' performances, that felt correct to me just based on, you know, my knowledge of math and scores. It felt right.
My knowledge of math. I agree. Yeah, I think Young's free skate was, I mean, obviously amazing. And she pulled so far ahead. She was like fifth in the short. And she her free was just so good. I feel like all of this was earned.
Yeah, it's the three of them I've been thinking about a lot in contrast. Like, they're all bringing such different things to the table that it's interesting to see them. I was going to say see them on a podium together. We actually didn't see them on a podium together because Young Yu had to get, I assume she had to get on a flight, and that's why she didn't stay, because she wasn't at the women's medal ceremony. And it was, I mean, their event was at 10 a.m. and the medal ceremony was at like 10 p.m. So I assume she just had to catch a flight and it wasn't a matter of like, you know, I'm angry, I got silver. Like, I don't think that's it at all, as much as it would be like fun for drama purposes. I mean, I saw her afterwards and she seemed really happy, and she was like, she was speaking Korean to some Korean fans. And so I didn't want to interrupt because I didn't know what I was interrupting, but she looked happy. So
amazing. Yeah, I think it's sensationless to be like, oh, she wasn't in the medal ceremony. It was just like logistics.
Absolutely. I agree. I mean, she's got to go back to Colorado, right?
Yeah. So,
but yeah, and then Mariah, who I thought did a beautiful job, and it just wasn't her day.
Yeah.
And Alyssa, you know, Alyssa's like the big talk of the town, right? Like, ever since the Peggy Fleming videos of her new programs went viral on skate Twitter of like, I mean, I'll be honest, when I saw that video, it didn't say who it was. It was like, the context was not there for me. It just was like, oh my God, look at this. And I didn't know it was her. Like, it was a bad enough quality video that I couldn't tell faces. And so based on skating quality, I didn't know it was her. So that's...
Alyssa's grown on me a lot. I mean, Alyssa and I've had a long journey because I found her charming when she was crying her way to the podium a couple years back, and then I was kind of over it for a while. Now she's winning me over mostly by virtue of being a really cool teen on the internet, and obviously being very good at skating. I've talked to you about this off mic, and I will bring it up because I'm feeling adventurous. It is insane to me that Alyssa, who seems like a very smart young person, very cool, very open-minded and like understanding of the world, it is insane to me that they still are doing the whole toddlers and tiaras deranged grin performance every time she skates. Like, I think everything she brings to the table would be 20 times better for me personally as a viewer if I wasn't being convinced so hard that it's very good by their facial expressions.
I agree. And I think it's interesting because I noticed it so prominently in the short program. Mm-hmm. And then in the free, I was kind of looking for it. But truthfully, even though I was in the second or third row, my eyesight isn't good enough to really get people's facial expressions. And so either it wasn't as pronounced in the free or my eyesight is bad. Either of those could be true. But yeah, especially with the short program music, it is very... it's not exactly marching bandy, but it has that kind of like pep squad rally vibe to it. Yeah. And that's the main thing with her, right? Because I think...
I just wonder if she like is in on a bit at this point. I also wonder if it's like a safety thing of like, I know that this is how I perform, so I'm just going to keep doing it, kind of like force of habit.
Maybe. And if I'm her coaches, it's very clear just from watching her and also... because we know this to be true based on what she has said, that working on her lines and her choreography and her artistic expression and her body has been a huge priority for her. And it has paid off. And it's entirely possible that the face could just be like a next year thing. Like, because you don't really get scored on it. So like, why would they put that before like having graceful arms or something, you know?
Well, I personally would argue it's part of your performance. But yeah, no, it makes sense. Also,
It should be. But in terms of like, do the judges care actually in the numbers, you know?
Also, like the judges are into the whole thing. I wanted to say right off the bat, at the top of her short program, I was so shocked and like impressed by just the speed and quality of her movement now. She's always been good. It just, you can tell that there's been so much work done in the past like year, which is awesome. Like, just like the, it was like the first 10 seconds of that program, she just like took off and I was like, wow, we're like really fucking fast and good now, which is awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of that tentativeness is gone. And I was not you know, shoulder to shoulder with anyone at the competition aside from a friend of the podcast, Jules, who came with me. But of the like strangers that I sort of met, like who were in the vicinity, who were very nice. And we were sort of chatting about what we thought. Like, one of them was saying that she saw Alyssa at her very first like regional competition or something, and like before she even won nationals, and how like she would take like the entire rink to set up a jump, and now it's just like seamless. So that's a big part of it too, I think.
Yeah, she's just grown so much and it's very, very impressive. I just desperately wish someone would give her that one note, but that's fine. Maybe it's the next year
thing. It's possible that that's just who she is as a person, but I think that it just doesn't read as super genuine and whatever. Like, I didn't really know how to smile in pictures until I was like in college. So, I mean, who's to say that it's not just something she'll figure out at some point?
Yeah, I'm not judging it. I think it's fine. I just had to get it off my chest because it doesn't even, like, I'm not hating on it. I just, it fucks with my head that it doesn't like connect with me. I'm like, I know I should be like smiling back at this and I am not.
Well, I think that when it comes to the difference between American skaters that we like and American skaters that we don't connect with as much, it often does come down to like how genuine is the emotion radiating out of them. So, you know, I mean, that's a valid thing to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're performers. That's what I'm used to looking at, etc. Anyway, yeah.
I love the costumes, though. There's no TGI Fridays clown this year. It's all, like, beautiful sequins, yes, like, opulence. The,
like, burnt orange situation is so good.
And I think that because she's a little older now, she's really, like, wearing the costumes as opposed to them wearing her. If you put a kid in that level of glam, it does look a little toddlers and tiaras. And now she's, like, really pulling it off, too.
Everyone, I'm not going to do the thing I always do when it comes to women's figure skating, but everyone looked so good. I have several favorites that I'll probably shout out costume-wise. But across the board, everyone just looked incredible. Just so many beautiful pieces.
I agree. There was really the only costume that I had any non-positive thoughts about was, God, and I don't even remember whose it is, which is awful, but maybe good because now I'm not like making anyone feel bad. But it wasn't that it was bad. It was that it was a black dress with a red rose like pinned on like a like a boutonniere, and there I think there was some white on it, but it looked so much to me like that meme of Bugs Bunny that's like wishing everyone a very pleasant cranberry cup. Like,
yeah, you texted me about that while it was happening as well, and I found it so funny.
Like, it's like you can't unsee it, and so I feel bad because it's not a bad costume. It's a very classic look, but if you have like brainworms meme crap brain like I do, then it was a little bit like, oh.
When you spend the past year and a half exclusively online, it's just hard.
Yes, year and a half, not 31 years.
Listen, this is fine.
The internet wasn't invented that 31 years ago. So, yeah, and this is fine. I think young you.
She's always just so beautiful.
Always beautiful. And it's fascinating to me to kind of compare her and Alyssa because they do similar things for me in terms of it being like really technically good and like not quite there emotionally, but not there. Like, I can see that attempts are being made and I appreciate that. It's just in different ways because to me, Young Yu has this absolutely effortless grace to her body movements.
Yes.
And then just nothing in the face. and Alyssa is like getting there with the body movements and then is maybe like needs to take a little bit of pressure off the gas pedal on the face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very fair judgment on both of their performance styles. I don't know if one is better than the other necessarily, which is why this podium feels correct to me and why, you know, it's just a matter of like who performs better on any given day. Because I could have seen Young winning this on a slightly different two performances, you know?
Me too. And I think I actually like really enjoy comparing them, because as much as it's often really difficult to take two skaters and compare them, mm-hmm. I think those two are an interesting comparison. I think that they have a lot of similar qualities and or at least like comparable qualities. And so to see them compete and then end up like 1-2 mm-hmm. was really cool, I thought.
It's exciting. It's very exciting when it's like the younger people.
Yeah, I guess her... I keep fucking this up. I think, like, her name is... Okay, so her name is Young Yu, and it's Young is the surname, and Yu is the given name. But also, I think a lot of times Korean names actually have two syllables, and so I don't... And sometimes when it... I know in other cultures, if it only has one syllable, you have to, like, say both. And so this is just me being stupid and white, ultimately, but I'm just going to call her Young Yu. But... She, if anybody knows, like, should I call her Yu? I don't know. If we have, like, Korean-speaking listeners, I would love to know. But... she did a triple axel. The one that she landed right in front of me, and it was in combo.
Amazing.
She had just kind of screwed up. I screwed up feels mean, but she had just like not successfully completed the solo triple axel that she started with. And I wasn't expecting her to come right back immediately after with a triple axel combo after that. And then she did it right in front of me and landed it right in front of me. And it was like effortless. I was asking Jules, my friend, I was like, was that a triple axel? And she was like, I don't know. It was one of those where it just looked easy and you weren't sure.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta respect like not managing the solo triple axel and then being like, we're still doing the combo and it is going to work. Which is also like a testament to like her level of training and preparedness, because like even when the triple axel doesn't happen, even when like something's off about it, it speaks to like the fact that across the board she's capable of doing it, that she can just come back and next time it's attempted, it's fine and it works.
Yeah, it was badass. And like that's, I mean, it just as a spectator, I miss, like, when you're there in person, one of the only drawbacks is that you don't get the technical box on the screen, because it's not a screen, it's real life. And, like, so I kind of did spend the whole thing, like, questioning, like, did I just see a triple axel? I don't know. And can Jackie Wong tweet about it so I can see if I was right?
Meanwhile, Jackie and I and the rest of figure skating Twitter were having such a hard time because, I mean, first of all, God bless everyone and God bless the organizers, and we're so grateful for it. I don't think anyone was prepared for the like 5,000 people who tuned in for that stream. And for a lot of it, it would freeze right when people were jumping. So I got to see a lot of beautiful skating and very few jumps.
Yeah, that was how the, I think, I'm pretty sure that the videos I saw of the short were just straight up ripped from that live cast. So I was having a similar experience of like, well, the takeoff was nice. And then we have leapt forward in time 30 seconds.
Yeah, I would have to like, whenever the stream would return, I would have to like listen for the audience reaction to figure out if they were like cheering for something. I've missed watching live skating and all of the cursed things that happen on streams. It's just, it's fun.
And on our end in real life, something was going on with the audio, and it was funny because like, obviously like I do a lot of audio engineering stuff, and my friend Jules, who I was there with, also does a lot of that professionally. And so the two of us were just trying every single person's song at a random point would glitch. And it was like every time it was jarring, and every time we were like, why is it happening? And the audio room was right across from the bathroom. And I was like, do I go in and ask? I was like, no, I shouldn't.
If I were you, I would have marched in there like, hello, I can help you.
I honestly I would have if I felt confident I could help. But at the time, I had gotten 2 hours of sleep the night before. And so I was like, I probably don't have the brain power to help. And that's why I didn't. But Anyway, Mariah Bell.
Mariah Bell. Okay, look, I will admit, people on Twitter are mad about how chaotic the cut of her short program is, and that's fine.
I wasn't going to say anything, but I thought I was maybe hearing, like, the stream skipping. Is that actually, like, how the cut is?
I don't know, because I've only experienced the live stream. I don't know how chaotic it is in real life. However, everything else about this entire situation is amazing.
Yeah, and if I may, I feel actually uniquely qualified to speak on this. that Rain on Me is a really hard song to cut. So, like, in my sort of, like, audio producer career, I consider, if I may toot my own horn, like, I consider my biggest strength to be able to seamlessly cut music together and, like, reorder it or, like, cut things out. Like, I'm, like, the anti-Danielle, right, if I may toot my own horn. I've just done a lot of it, and I consider it, like, the thing I'm best at. And I, so dear listeners, I do this for Netta a fair amount yes. when they perform.
Yes.
And I did a mashup, including Rain On Me, a few months ago for them. And Rain On Me, I go into it thinking, okay, this is going to be a fairly simple cut because dance music is fairly formulaic. It's very, like, four on the floor, like everything is organized into bars and sections mm-hmm. and you can just find pretty easily like the musical equivalent of like a joint where you could cut things apart, right?
Yep.
That particular song, the sections bleed into each other so heavily that it's really hard to find anywhere to cut it that it wouldn't sound choppy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way that song is organized. So I do want to say like whoever cut it had a really hard task ahead of them. And it kind of sounded like a remix. And cutting a remix is a whole nother thing. So I sympathize. It's not an easy choice. But it did sound a little wild to me.
That's, yeah. I apologize for making you do that for me on a very short notice recently.
No, honestly, like the cut you wanted ended up working out fine, and I think it was good.
The cut I wanted was amazing, and it got the job done, and the job being I did a drag number, and it was awesome. Speaking of drag, fucking Cordero Zuckerman, my god. Look, I'm not gonna say that if you have a queer choreographer and a queer coach, things are just better for you, but I'm also not gonna not say that.
Yeah, it's just so good, and like,
just the vibes are so, so good.
They are. And I love that Mariah is really making a name for herself as kind of a fun, upbeat dance music girl, as yes. well as being really good at kind of sappy saccharine, but she's so genuine that you cry anyway. because I think that's how most people think of her, is like, well, she did Celine Dion. She does these like ballads and whatever. Mm. But she's really good. She's gotten really good at
just popping off a little. Myself. Yes.
Yeah, serving attitude as well as just like radiating melancholy joy.
I'm just a fan. Look, we all know that. I'm going to continue saying that throughout this season. I think she's one of those skaters. I mean, that's true for everyone. I'm just so excited to see everything we saw at this event in a couple of months, because everyone's new programs are just so fresh. And for most people, that was like the first time performing them for like an audience and at an event. So I'm just excited to see everyone grow more confident into their new stuff, because that's when it gets like super good, is when you like stop thinking about like what comes next and you just are having fun with it and enjoying it.
Yeah, and I think that for me, her free skate is perfect. I yes. think that the choreography is like sublime. It's compared to a lot of the other programs that we saw that day. Mm. It felt like art. It felt like, you know, when you say a program's empty, whatever the opposite end of the spectrum is, it was just full. It was a full program. There was never yeah. a moment where it felt like, oh, this is a prep for something else or this is a filler.
Mm-hmm.
It just, every moment felt really attended to.
I can't wait to see it like performed like super clean. I think that's going to be a fucking moment. You know, when she has moments, I think it's going to be a moment.
I agree. My wish for her is that she does get that like technical consistency back.
Yeah.
Because I think that's really the only thing with her. I think anything else is like, yeah.
Yes.
She's got the artistry. She's got it.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's just hard. I mean, that goes for everyone really, is the, I mean, state of the world. People have been, you know, in and out of practice and all of that. Mariah's been doing a lot of Pilates on Instagram, and I appreciate that because she's been doing like the reformer workouts, which are also my favorite. I find reformer Pilates super fun and very effective. And I feel very validated when I see like actual athletes using the same techniques.
Oh, yeah.
Let's quickly talk about the other women who are there.
Yeah, wow. Audrey Shin continues to get better every time at a rate that is so alarming that I'm like, slow down, Maurice. Like,
she is very, very good. And she's like, we're getting more and more of like her personality as well, which is always exciting.
I felt really lucky to see Madeleine Skeezus in real life. She is a powerhouse. She is like, it's like watching like how do I say this? I don't want to say like a Mack truck because that's something I say about skaters who have no grace. And she does have a lot of grace. So it's not a derogatory thing, but it's just, she just has so
Mack
much
truck,
power.
Not derogatory.
Mack truck, not derogatory. She has so much power on the ice that it's just like watching.
She was third in the free.
Yeah, some skaters you watch and you're like, this sure is a sport. Like, this is an athlete I'm watching. And again, not sure in a bad way, but like in a good way.
Yeah, I just vibe with her so much. Anytime I see her skate, I'm like, yeah, this is it. She just has a very nice presence that I deeply enjoy. I'm excited we get to see her like more and more and more.
Totally. We got to talk about Gracie Gold, who was there and is an icon always.
Yes. It was also recently her birthday, so happy birthday, Gracie.
Oh, happy birthday.
I promised I wouldn't talk about costuming anymore on this episode, but her green dress, it's a Brad Griffey's, she always works with him. Her green short program dress is one of my favorite things I have ever seen.
Me too.
It is so simple, but it's so fucking good.
It's so good on her. And like, even the free skate too, the gold, like, it was so nice. I think that her free skate, I feel really lucky to have seen it because I'm pretty sure that was probably the best she's done since her comeback.
Yeah, she really did so good.
She didn't seem happy with it, but we all know she's got like really high standards for herself.
Which I respect.
I thought it was kind of a serve to not stay for the scores. Like, I'm sure that there was some aspect of like, I'm disappointed and I don't want to do this. Maybe. I hope not. But I think it's kind of a serve to be like, I don't need to stay for the scores.
Yeah. I mean, it's still going to happen one way or another. That was something that was weird to me. I'm kind of going back to the Summer Olympics when I was watching like all the gymnastics events. It is so weird to just like see things continue to happen. And then it's like, by the way, this person got a score and it was this, like without the drama of a kiss and cry. I forget that that's not normal in every sport.
Every sport needs a kiss and cry. Every sport needs a kiss and cry.
Can you imagine in like soccer or something, every time they like score, they have to sit down and like think about it and like smile at a camera?
Yes, I would love that. Maybe they would, maybe the fans would calm down a little bit.
Yeah, because in our sports with the kiss and cries, everyone's super calm all the time and not insane at all. That said, I've never flipped a car over. Maybe
it is the Olympic season, though.
Maybe this season I'll like go out and commit arson or something. This is not an expression of intent. I do not intend to commit arson. For legal purposes, this is a joke.
Yes, always. Tara Prasad.
Yes.
Awesome. Loved her.
Fantastic.
Beautiful costumes. Loved it.
I was excited to see, this is maybe a weird leap that my brain made. I was excited to see Kailani Crane and also Finley Hawk at the same event because they have the same vibe for me. And it's not a style thing. I think it's more of a fashion thing, but they have a similar just understanding of what has to be done.
Yeah. And Kailani's free skate was fucking insane because... So I saw the costume and I thought, okay, we're seeing Requiem for a Dream, which is kind of iconic at this point. I was kind of excited about it. It starts and I'm like, maybe I don't remember how Requiem for a Dream goes, and that's fine. And I'm going to be honest, there are a lot of songs, a lot of like classical artsy songs that people skate to that I think are Gangsta's Paradise. And it's because it's this chord progression and a melodic line that is present in a lot of like more classical stuff. And so the entire time, first like half of it, I was like, surely not. Surely it's not Gangsta's Paradise. And then it was. It was like a cover. And I was like, interesting. Okay, love it. And then it was the actual original version. I was like, this is fucking next level. I don't want to hear a single bad thing about this.
I mean, I can't be critical of this because I don't know if I'm the person to be critical of this. I will only approach this with curiosity and marvel. How do you think we arrive at this? How do you think you sit down with your team and you're like, I, Kailani Crane, will be skating to Gangsta's Paradise in the year of the Lord 2021. How do you get there?
I don't know. Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall at that conversation. I think that the reason that it's so interesting to me is that I'm an imaginative person, and I simply can't figure out how we get from point A to point B on that, but I love it.
Yeah, I respect her. I respect her a lot. She's always someone to talk about, and I respect that.
Yeah, she makes sure she's in the conversation, and that's like the most, I respect that more than pretty much anything.
Basically,
making sure you're in the conversation.
Yeah, same. Real quick, I want to shout out Amber, our beautiful bi icon, Amber Glenn, who had to withdraw from the free skate because she is having injury trouble. And it was smart of her to not aggravate things further.
Yeah, I was sad that I didn't get to see her, but I'm never sad when athletes take care of themselves. So I was like, okay, good.
This is the year of athletes knowing when to pull out of things. And I respect that for everyone, and I support it.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're gonna get a chance to see her skate
totally
soon.
Wait, okay. Isadora Williams got hurt, and I felt really bad. Yeah. I saw it happen. It was upsetting. Feel better.
What happened there?
I actually don't know. She fell, I think, but it didn't. All falls look equally horrible and painful to me. Yep. And when anyone doesn't get up limping, I'm like, what? So. Hell if I know what happened, but it sucked because it was this really prolonged thing where she was trying really hard to keep going, and it wasn't one of those things where it's I'm hurt, I'm off the ice. She had this long conversation with the judges, and so it wasn't really clear. But then I think she said, she was hurt.
I'm sad for her, and I hope she I wish her a speedy recovery, and also again, proud of her and her team and everyone involved for knowing that this is just not gonna, happen for the rest of the program.
I think we should conclude with is our brand new Turkish queen.
Yes.
How do we think this name is said? Guzide Irmak?
I personally would say Guzide, because
Guzide.
Knowing Bulgaria is right north of Turkey, and I've heard a lot of Turkish names in my lifetime, and that's how I would say it, Guzide Bayır. I'm not 100% sure, but that's what I would go with. And also, she's awesome.
She's the best. Now, I will admit, when I first saw that costume, I was absolutely not.
Why not?
It the way the skirt is, it's got black dye airbrush on top of super super fluorescent pink in a way that I just don't like things that look painted on or spray painted on or airbrushed on. But then when she started skating, it totally changed, because I just loved her skate so much that I loved everything about it. And I loved her hair. This is such a superficial thing to say, but
no, she looks cool.
She just had really bouncy short curly hair. It reminded me of the Dorothy Hamill thing, having short hair that flows and moves when you skate is cool. It just is. And I'm gonna find her music selections, because they were awesome and I want to get them right. It was Love is a Bitch, and then transitioned into Seven Nation Army. And I love how many girls, women, ladies were skating to songs with male vocalists. There was a lot, probably more than I've seen in any competition, because I always love that, any kind of non-obvious gender music choice is always really exciting to me. I love
non-obvious gender.
Non-obvious gender music is a great name for an album. Well, because then at that point, it was she was rocking out. It was such a party. She was just feeling the fantasy and kind of rocking out the same way you would if you were at the club and one of those songs came on. And so she was so in it that I was then this dress looks like something you would wear to a Sweet 16, and you would rock out with your friends to these songs. And it just made sense to me at that point.
You know, when you go to a Sweet 16 and you listen to Love is a Bitch.
I don't know what the youths do today. I know Seven Nation Army was a thing at parties when I was in high school.
I recently did Seven Nation Army in drag, and people popped off.
There you go.
Who knows? Who knows? Let's talk about some boys real quick. Pardon me, some men.
Should we take a break first?
We should. Let's do break.
welcome to the break. We have a couple of things to say. So we have a Patreon.
Yes, we have a Patreon. Patreon keeps our lights on and helps us support people and causes in need. You can head over and get just so much extra content of various quality and topics. You can head over to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/icedtpod, and just find a myriad of things we have done for our amazing, beautiful patron supporters. What else?
We have a Buy Me a Coffee. So our URL for our Buy Me a Coffee is buymeacoff.ee/icedtpod. The dot is in the middle of the phrase Buy Me a Coffee. So that is where you can go if you want to give us like a one-time tip. If you don't want to subscribe to monthly stuff, but you just want to throw us like a one-time thing, we could use it on coffee, or we'll probably just put it in the bank account with the Patreon money and use it for that stuff more likely. But yeah, that's your other option for something less repetitive.
Yes. What else? You're still being a DTRPG legend. People can go stan Megan and the rest of her team over at Eclipse. They do a lot of cool D&D stuff.
Yeah, just search on wherever you get your podcasts, Eclipse D&D podcast, and you can hear me fight aliens and have a pretend ferret.
Amazing.
Yeah, and as always, the freest, easiest thing you can do for us if you want to show your appreciation is to rate us 5 stars on the Apple Podcasts app. And if you're feeling very lovely and nice, you could leave us a nice review.
Honestly, in this hell time on Earth, your reviews keep me going. Please leave us nice reviews. They're very fun to read. And we appreciate them very much. And they help us out. And they're going to help us out even more now that, you know, we're heading into the Olympic season. People will be looking for primers on the sports. Let people know that we're a good source for things.
That's a great point. Yeah, as people are going to get more into figure skating as like, oh, four-year fans or whatever. we welcome everybody. We don't discriminate.
Do not gatekeep.
Way.
Let everyone know. And thank you.
Let the people know.
And thank you.
And thank you for listening. And now...
boys. Men.
Boys to men.
There were much fewer boys, men. There were much fewer men than women at this event. There were like 23 women altogether, including the people who had to withdraw. And there were only like 12 or 13, I think, men, right? Yeah, 13.
That's actually crazy to me because having been there... I didn't clock that at all. And I think it's because of the way that time passes for me in the morning. It's just like I'm like kind of 1 foot on the astral plane before noon anyway. so I think I just didn't notice that it was twice as many people, which is actually alarming. But
that is
right.
So funny.
I'm looking at the list. You're totally right.
Let's talk about the podium real quick.
Let's do it. Vincent Joe won.
Yeah.
I don't know if he should have won by that much, was my initial instinct, just from having seen it. It didn't feel like that lead was super warranted, but it was probably a technical thing, as it generally is, that I just wasn't seeing with my own admittedly bad eyesight. Who knows?
Yeah, I honestly, at this point, I don't think I can say anything I have not said before. Until this man does something to surprise me.
Here's what I'll say. I sat surrounded by Vincent stans. Like, they really loved him, and we were sort of talking about it. Some of them were young teen girls, and I didn't talk to them because I didn't – no offense to them, but they just seemed like they were having fun by themselves, and I didn't want to be, like, a weird adult who was like, hey, kids, tell me about Vincent Joe. Some of the other people who were really into him, we were sort of talking, and I was saying, you know, for me, like, the artistry isn't really there. I don't connect with it, and – the people who enjoyed him were saying that they felt like that was true, but he's grown enough for them to stand now. And that they said the short program was amazing. The short program is amazing. Like, you have to watch the short program. So I did. And I went into it with this mindset of like, I really want to like this. Like, I want to give this like the absolute best benefit of the doubt. And I came away with the following observations. I came away thinking, the choreography for that is actually really good. It's a really well choreographed piece, and he really does hit like pretty much every beat of it. I just think that what I don't like about Vincent at this point is his arms, hands, and face.
Oh no. I know what you mean, but just the delivery of that.
I know, I feel like that came out really mean. What I specifically mean is, and this, so when
Jesus
I was watching,
because
I think the Crouching also, Tiger.
I was just going to say both of them are choreographed by Lori Nichols, so they're going to be good choreography.
Well, yeah, but then I actually was not impressed with the Crouching Tiger. He had kind of hyped up how it was reworked from the old Crouching mm-hmm. Tiger, and I actually liked it less than the old one.
Oh, no.
It felt really empty. It felt like, I don't know, it just didn't do it for me. And in both programs, I just feel like his arms are really stiff and his hand position isn't graceful. And so that's a pet peeve of mine, is like, just learn how to do like graceful ballet hands. Like, most people can figure that out. And then it's just the perennial thing of like, I would like to feel like you're moving because you feel something and not like you're putting a face on your face.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still hung up on the fact that he's doing Vincent, and everything else is just bonus material at this point.
Yeah, it's so very much. It's so very much. And I think,
I just desperately wish this man would like show up and change my mind somehow. I don't know what he has to do to win me over, but I want it. I don't want to be mean.
This is my thesis statement on Vincent Jo that I've developed, is that every U.S. guy at this point, and there's a lot of really good U.S. guys,
yes.
It's a deep-ass field, they've all carved out a little niche for themselves where they say, you know, I have my strengths, I have my weaknesses, but I am bringing XYZ to the table, and that's what I do that no one else is doing. Everyone has one except Vincent, because Vincent's is really good jumps, and we have Nathan, so that can't be your thing. If there was no Nathan Chen, I would say, yes, Vincent is the technical god. But because we have Nathan, who has that and his own special style, I'm like, I need you to come up with something else, you know?
Can you come up with something else?
Maybe that sounds really mean, but if I was like his, if that's what I would focus on at this point, is like trying to find like, what is your charming point or something,
yeah.
You know?
I don't know. I think, and we've said this so many times, I just can't vibe with it. Feels like he's trying so very hard to find that thing and like define it. And it just doesn't read. And I struggle with it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the issue, is that I think he is aware of that and is trying really hard. And I think a lot of the times that it's just something that is part of you and you just sort of have to let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the conversation that we have and we've heard a lot of people have about like artistic voice, about how you don't actually decide or figure out what your artistic voice is. It just is what it is, and you don't have control over that. It just comes out in what you do.
Yep. Yes, I think it's the same here, and maybe that's a note that someone can give him. I don't know. But speaking of people who have carved their fucking way and their spot in the men's field, and especially the U.S. men's field, can we talk about Jimmy Ma, please?
Oh, we certainly can. It was like finally the dawning of the age of Jimmy Ma.
Amen.
Of the day. It was his day. Finally, he was the king, and it was like, I'm so glad I was there for it, because Jimmy is a skater who has very much, in the same way we were talking about our Guzida, is that right? Turkish friend.
Yes.
He has always made sure. Oh, and Kehlani, we've always made like, he makes sure he's in the conversation, regardless of whether he's 10th or 15th or 3rd or 2nd. Like, he's in the conversation. And
yes,
so it's cool that he's also now in the conversation because of how well he did.
Hell yeah. It is a pleasure to talk about Jimmy because he is on this podium.
Yeah. And it was like, I went into the free knowing he had kicked ass in the short, and I was nervous because historically Jimmy kicks ass in the short and then falls apart a little in the free. So I was like, do I have to see this happen again? And I was so proved wrong. It was amazing.
Hell yeah. I'm just very happy for him. I also think this is like a very good like confidence boost so early in the season. I don't know. I think it's just great. I think it's just overall very good.
He's such a rock star and he brings such like a rock star energy to the ice. He's so like, you know, he did his very best and he was just like, yeah, yeah. And it was like this very like, yeah, cheer for me. I'm the best kind of energy that I think maybe on someone else would have been off-putting. But on him, it was so earned that I was like, yes, good. Take your moment.
I'm into it. I think he approaches it in a way where I'm like, yeah, this is great. Yes. Buying everything that you're 100%. Selling.
Yeah, and it might not be something you could even quantify or describe. Vibes are vibes, you know? And I think we do spend a lot of time just because we're a podcast where we analyze stuff artistically, and that's what we studied and whatnot. Like, we spend a lot of time trying to put feelings and vibes into words, but sometimes it's just like someone's energy allows them to get away with certain things that wouldn't be charming on other people but are charming on them. And that's just the way it is in life. I wanted to know what you thought of the free program, like music, concept, costume, aesthetic.
What did I think of? I feel like I'm being like tested.
It's just because I, well, so I'll tell you why I'm asking.
Yes, talk to me because I don't know how I feel.
Yeah, because Again, this is on me having poor eyesight, and thank God I have an eye doctor appointment next week. From what little detail I could see of his costume, to me it looked like royal king. Like I was getting vibes of like royal king, sci-fi, like not a specific culture, but maybe like vaguely East Asian sci-fi of some kind. And then the music felt very like a movie about a king or something was sort of my take on it. It just felt like regal and epic and whatever. And then afterwards, again, this was sort of like the audience chatter around me was there was one person who didn't get it. And then there was another or like it didn't do it for them. They felt like they were missing something. Mm-hmm. And another person who said that they are huge fans of Attack on Titan, the anime. And that's what the music was. And I guess they were so excited to hear the music come on and they got it. And apparently the choreography was like really faithful to the story. And if you've seen the anime, it like makes it a lot better. So then the question between the two of them, and I don't think they knew each other either. I think that we were all just sort of like audience friends, was like, okay, so if you've like, do you have to have seen it to get it?
I don't know. 'Cause I have not. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I know what Attack on Titan is. I will say the one time I watched any of it, I watched like part of season one, maybe like 10 years ago during one of the worst hangovers of my life. And I don't think I had my glasses on. I certainly wasn't reading the subtitles. So I wasn't, it's a very, very blurry in many ways memory. And I did not recognize the music and I still got cool vibes from it and I enjoyed it a lot. So
that is so funny, first of all. But also, secondly, I, gun to my head, could not tell you a single thing about the plot of Attack on Titan, and I would not be capable of recognizing any of the music or any of the characters or any, I just know the name of it. And I still enjoyed it, so I don't know if it needs context to be enjoyable. I think for people who know context, it's going to be enjoyable in a different way, because that's always the case if you know the source material for a thing. But I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't see a problem with it at all. And I also really like his ponytail. I thought it was cool.
Yes, I'm into it. I think it's fun.
So that's what I have to say about Jimmy Ma. I stan. I hope that he takes this confidence. And it was his home rink. And he has so much love and support from the crowd. Like, he kind of, in the we say this sometimes when, like, the audience has like a more prominent response to somebody than somebody else. It's like he kind of won the popular vote at this event. People were really supportive of Vincent for sure. Don't get me wrong, but like Jimmy kind of won the popular vote in terms of like
Jimmy
how he
was
received.
Home. Like
he was home, and that's a huge part of it. And I'm sure everybody understands that. I mean, Vincent,
it's always such a joy
it.
To see
it.
Like any skater skating at their home rink is always just like my favorite thing. Like it's always such a fun dynamic because this person is like obviously way more familiar with what's going on than anyone else.
Totally. And I'm sure that put him at ease, you know.
Yeah, it must be nice to start your season with like a medal at your home rink,
right? I think that would be the best.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Maxim Naumov in third place?
Yes we should. He's another person who's like just fucking grown up like in front of our very eyes.
Yeah, I think the last time I saw him live was at U.S. Nationals, where I believe he won junior nationals that year, but I didn't watch the junior competitions. Yeah. I just saw him at the gala.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, cute, a kid.
Yeah, now he's a whole ass, like, person, man, who's very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I think he and Yaroslav Paniota, you could sort of have, lumped together a little bit, because they kind of have similar strengths and weaknesses, albeit different styles, because I think that Maxim is very much like indie bangers,
which I respect immensely.
Absolutely. And Yaro's like oldies, which is kind of cute.
You know, sometimes you just get a vibe to the oldies, and that's respectable.
You do. You do, and I love it. I think they both have the thing of, like, they have a lot of artistic potential, and they have a lot of technical potential, and it's just a matter of tightening it up, getting it consistent, and that's it. They're just both young.
I think it's very exciting. Like, anytime I watch any event which features more of Team US's men's field, I find myself very excited, just because I think every, like, 5 years or so, I get so attached to what, like, men's singles is. And I'm like, this is it. And it's never going to be better or worse. And this is just going to be it. And every cycle of young athletes, like, coming up and coming athletes, there is a bunch of people that I'm like, oh, this is going to be so exciting in a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I want to say too, like, specifically about Yaroslav Paniot, is that, which is like the most American pronunciation of that, whatever.
I think you're doing good, actually.
Okay. He reminds me, and I, again, this is like non-derogatory, his skating reminds me of the end of Napoleon Dynamite when he's dancing, because it's like he's actually really good at it, and he's got all the moves, and he's fantastic, but he's just kind of doing it for himself. Like, he's not really projecting out to the audience, and it's kind of charming in its own weird way.
I enjoy this level of camp, like, always.
It's so like, I am alone in my room. I have put on this full outfit for myself, and I am just dancing because I feel it. And it's like, again, he's really good. He has every single move, but there's just no outward projection. It feels like I'm watching somebody rock out in their room to Elvis. And it's so charming. I would love to see it get more of that, like Donovan Carrillo, like, I'm here to entertain the audience. But I also love it for what it is now. It's so charming.
The Elizaveta Tuktamishova school of just dancing for the purposes of dancing.
Yeah, I thought it was sweet. But I think either of them I think would be probably the most realistic threat to usurp Vincent for the third Olympic spot. And I just don't see it happening. Like, I, as much as I wish or don't wish or do, let's be honest, do kind of wish that would happen, just because I enjoy watching them a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think actually, I was thinking about it, and I'm like, there's actually, I think, very little Vincent could do at this point to lose his Olympic spot.
Yeah, I know. And I will never wish for anyone to not, like, succeed in a thing that they want to succeed in. But I'm like,
yeah, totally.
We'll get there when we get there, but yeah.
Yeah, I think if anybody would oust him, it would be those two, based on the tech content and artistic potential. I don't know if the couple of months between now and then is enough time, but, like, who knows. We had both Israel men.
Yes, they were both there. How was, I want you to talk to me about seeing Alexei Bichenko live, because that, I'm curious about that. We all know I like him.
Yeah, it was like a rock concert. It was like, I think everyone there, both based on what I heard them saying to each other and what I was saying and just the overall energy, I think everyone there was like, I can't believe I actually got to see him. Because you never know when somebody's going to retire once they're in their 30s. Like, it could be any time. And he's not American. And so if you're not going to Worlds or whatever, like, it's just the odds that you see him at a random competition in Boston. It's like, we were all just, you could tell everyone was grateful to see him. And, like, he got, like, so much love. He got, I mean, not a lot of standing happened ovation wise, but there was, like, a lot of love and standing ovation stuff for him. Just
amazing.
And he did great. It wasn't even one of those things of, like, oh, this is an older skater and they have no stamina and it's hard. Like, he did great. And he both served, like, emotion performance and also occasionally broke character and did like pulled a face when he messed up, and it was like, it was very charming, and he could pull it off because he's got that legend status.
Yes. I just respect him at this point. I also enjoy watching him skate, but I respect his whole deal.
Yeah. And for me, like Daniel Samuin, I will admit, had kind of fallen off the map in terms of like guys that I felt like were really a threat, because the last few years he hasn't been performing as well as he had. Yeah. And he really killed it this time. He was really on.
Maybe he's back.
Yeah. I mean, I will say he wins the award for most extra warm up in the stands. it was straight up distracting because he was like doing like full like single axles in like, you know, I mean, a lot of people warm up kind of in the hall behind the bleachers or whatever. He was very like, I will put my whole leg over my head. I will jump up and down so high. And it was like pulling my focus.
Amazing. I mean, good for him. He knows how to be the center of attention, I guess.
He was kind of like, I don't usually associate him with having like a big stage presence or anything, but he was like very, I don't know. He was like flirting with the audience. Like I was like kind of blushing. I was like, oh my God, he's like really giving like a very charming, sexy performance.
Good for him. We love to see that. That is growth, and good for him. I'm very happy that he's like at a place where he can pop off like that.
Yeah. And speaking of dynamic duos of bros, Toki and Cam.
Our good friends. My favorite boys, favorite men.
The very best.
Anytime either of them skates is just a gift for me personally as a human.
And I just love both of their programs this year so much. Yes. They're so right for them.
Yeah, I think there's, again, it's the kind of thing where I'm like, I can't wait to see this in a couple of months when like everything is just like settled and people are more, I don't want to say confident, but when people stop thinking about how this is new as much as they've been doing now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in the case of Tomoki, like, I love that his thing, aside from being like, his thing being like, I'm flexible and I can do every single trick and I will do every single trick.
For my next trick, I will be doing every single trick.
That's literally it. And I think too, his other thing is like, he kind of has this like very unassuming, like blank faced vibe. And then he gets on the ice and he's like Frank Sinatra. Like he's so charismatic and he has that whole like classic vibe that he tends to do. So good. So, so good. I freaking love the free skate. I couldn't tell if it was like actually Bond music or something along those lines, but the tuxedo and like it was just great.
We know. I know you enjoy a little Bond situation.
I do pop off every time someone skates to Bond. I love it. I do love it. Camden's short. When I heard it, I heard that it was Moulin Rouge, I went, no! But in a way of like, not as in like, no, I don't want this to happen. But like, no, I can't handle this. It's too much. It's too perfect and sweet.
Was that like a genuine actual vocal reaction?
Oh, it was out loud to myself. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It really was.
Amazing. Yeah, I think it's such a good choice.
Yeah, and likewise, the free, it was so, I think sometimes any kind of like, I'm gonna do something like vaguely Spanish-y, that is such a common thing that skaters go to, and it's so easy to just like not put anything in it. But Cam was like lip-syncing for his life, like not literally because there were no words, but it was very like,
just performing.
Some of the jumps were not there. Yeah, just performing. Like, I was like, this is good. And I really, like, having talked to him and having heard him say, like, he holds an emotion in his mind and his heart when he skates and he wants to, like, transmit that to the audience. Like, I just so felt that.
Good. I'm just very proud of him. Good.
I want to say one more thing about him before we move on is that he had this, like, I mean, all the Boston skaters had fans in the crowd, obviously. He had friends in the crowd, and I know he doesn't skate in Boston or even, like, go to school there. So I don't know if he's just really close with those people or whether he had people come for him or what. But they screamed so loud for him. As they should. I think, and I'm relatively sure, if you can see me in all of the footage of the skaters because I was across from the camera in, like, the second row. So, like, for better or for worse, you can kind of see me. And I'm wearing a mask, but you can still kind of clock what I think because I'm not good at hiding that. But I was laughing a lot at the beginning of Camden's because I'm, like, 90% sure that someone called out Daddy. took me the fuck out.
Look, I'm an adult person, so I'm not going to say anything. But if people, I respect that.
It was just really funny. Like, this is a young man.
I think that's so cute. Honestly, if I had friends in the audience, I would love for them to just be doing the equivalent of calling out daddy, because I think it's funny.
Totally. And also afterwards, like, Jules and I were saying we thought we maybe saw Karen, but again, I have horrible eyesight. It could have been just a different dark-haired woman, but we thought we maybe saw Karen there. And if so, I think that's really sweet that she came to see him. So.
Yeah. Wasn't it also her birthday recently? I don't know. Everyone's had a birthday since we've last spoken, because it's been...
People do be having birthdays all the time. It's wild. Correct. How that never stops.
Yeah. Mine is very, very soon. I'm very excited. I didn't used to be a birthday person. And in the past couple of years, I'm like full, like, sweet 16, like, princess anytime it's my birthday. I don't know why.
I think that's the way to be. I love my birthday. Somebody Same. Tried to tell me once that my birthday isn't a holiday. And I was like, the
what?
Fuck do you
no.
mean?
No, that's criminal, actually.
My birthday is a holiday. Everyone's birthday is a holiday to
Correct.
Them.
Like, yeah, I love birthdays. I think they're fun. You know what else is fun? Donovan Carrillo is fun.
Oh, man. Now, short program Donovan, the costume was like, what the fuck is happening?
I think
it was
that's
like
fine.
The aesthetic of like, it was the aesthetic of like a truck mud flap. Like, I loved it, but I was confused.
Is that the emotion you get from a truck mud flap? I love it, but I'm confused.
It depends on how sexy the lady on it is. No.
Jesus Christ.
No. I loved it. I thought it was great. I obviously was there for the free skate, so I have more feelings about that. But Donovan was one of, like, I was telling Netta, I didn't really get to talk to any of the skaters because everybody was so, like, busy and distanced and kind of staying out of the crowd, or, like, either that or in situations where, like, one doesn't want to go, like, bother them. They were sort of less present than they were at Nationals. One of the few people I did see in the wild was Donovan, and he was coming out of the Skating Club of Boston, like, after his warm-up in the morning, and he was surrounded by this entourage, and it reminded me so much of, like, when you see paparazzi photos of, like, Kim Kardashian, like, being hurried away.
Honestly, that is the treatment he deserves. I mean, not, like, safety-wise, but just he is a star, and he should be treated and regarded as such. Also, his new short is choreographed by Benoit, which explains just about everything about it.
I can definitely see that. Yeah. And the free is, it's just, he puts on a show. He puts on a show for the audience. It's all for the audience. And it's like the jumps, it's whatever he jumps, it's like, oh yeah, he's competing. But like, then the second he's not jumping, it's like, this is
oh,
a
we're
show he's
doing a
on
show.
For us.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah, I just stan him so hard. And I'm very excited that we got to see him, and hopeful that there is going to be a lot more of that for the rest of this season.
Me too. And I think the last person that I would really like to talk about was Christopher Caluza, who
yes.
I didn't really go in thinking like, oh my gosh, this is going to be like a moment, you know?
Yeah.
I thought small fed skaters are always really fun to watch, because it's like really cool to see a small fed skater. It's like a rare Pokemon situation. His free skate was like one of the most joyful skating experiences I've ever seen. Like, maybe second only to Mariah Bell's free skate at 2020 Nationals. Like,
wow.
Every jump he landed, he was so surprised and happy, and he was performing, and it was like everybody, the crowd was just like getting more and more energy. And then at the end, he just screamed like, fuck yeah!
Hell yeah. The Jimmy Masco of just screaming obscenities on live TV.
Yeah, he has an honorary degree from that school, I think. And he got to receive it in person, because it was in Boston at the Boston campus.
I respect that so much, honestly.
It's so good. He was crying. There was not a dry eye in the house. It was
that
a great audience,
my
I think,
favorite.
In terms of, like, yeah, just being on board for, like, all the skaters.
Yes. I think that's how sports should be, actually, is just, like, a very joyful communal event for everyone to enjoy.
I agree. And I really do think the audience was great. I think... one thing I'll say, like, I saw Paris and Ice Dance too, and I didn't really tweet or comment on it because I don't know what I'm looking at, but I had a great time. But what I will say is that I did see a Terry. I was in the same room as a Terry.
How was that for you?
It was really cold. It was chilling in every way. I took a picture of her and it just glitched and it looks like a horrible, like, deep fried copy pasta situation. Like, it's horrifying.
It does not help that you sent it to me and I immediately went ahead and actually deep fried it.
Yeah, it's so we have that now. Maybe we'll share that as the season goes on.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll put it on Patreon.
Yeah, patreon.com/iced pot if you want to see a deep fried paparazzi picture of a Terry, which is just spooky, regardless of who she is. It's just terrifying that your camera did that to a human person.
It super is. I didn't know that was possible. I was telling Netta that what surprised me about a Terry from what little I did see was that she has sort of that Ice Queen, like, very composed image. And I think that's true of her face, maybe. But again, from where I was sitting, she was spoke in such an animated way and was kind of like, I think she must have been having a conversation with whoever the butler man was with her at the time. It wasn't a butler I recognized, but it was a man. And she was having a conversation with him, I think, about choreography. And she was like, you know, like miming the choreography and speaking with her hands a lot. And so she's like a very animated person, which I don't think I've really.
Yeah, you wouldn't think she would be like that. But also she's Slavic, so it makes sense.
Yeah, even a very reserved Slav is still, you know.
Just extremely aggressive. I get
but,
to say
but
that.
But the reason I brought that up, yeah, you do. And yeah. The reason I brought that up was actually not because of a Terry, although that is, of course, something we needed to talk about, of course. It was that she was there because her pair team was there, Morozov and Tarasova, is that right?
Yeah.
No, Tarasova and Morozov.
Yes, yes, that's who they are.
Yes, so she was there with her pairs team, Tarasova and Morozov, and I don't really know why they were there. Pairs people, let me know, like, do they train in America, like, or did they literally come from Russia? I wasn't sure. It seemed like the rest of the competition was Americans and people who train in America, so I don't know, but, and like close by, like Canada. But I was impressed with the audience because they were one of the only non-American pairs. They were certainly the only non-American pair on the podium. And the American pairs had so much support and love. And I think that the audience, like, did go out of their way to really try and, like, congratulate the Russian pair and, like, clap for them and make sure that we were all, like, yelling. Because there was this moment where, like, they were kind of skating off after the medal ceremony and the American pairs who came in silver and bronze, who were Knierman Frazier and Cowling and Johnson. They were all being, like, you know, congratulated and handshaking and taking pictures and stuff. And the Russian pair were kind of just skating off because they didn't really have that kind of response. And I think the audience kind of noticed that. And then everybody kind of started clapping for them and yelling congratulations when they noticed they were leaving. And they seemed, aww, like, pretty happy about that. So it was sweet. I thought it was just a good audience. Is the
amazing.
But yeah, so that's the boys, I guess.
That is, yeah. I mean, congratulations to everyone because it's been a fucking journey to get to the start of the season. And here's hoping that, you know, we get to continue having this season and everyone continues to stay safe to the best of their ability. During it, I'm just so happy that skating is back. Also, the Junior Grand Prix is starting. I'm not going to say exactly because I don't want to date this episode, but it has started as of time of recording. And that's Jesus. Also exciting. This is really happening. Everything is really happening. The Cup of China got canceled, but I think they're going to just move that Grand Prix event to, like, Helsinki or something and still have it. I don't know. Anyway, skating is happening and that's exciting.
It is. And in lieu of plushie corner, because there were no, like, tossing things on the ice at this event, I will award the plushie award to the girl who was sitting further down the row from me who brought a stuffed seal. And it wasn't for anyone. It was for her. It was just a friend for her. She wins plushie corner.
Amazing. That's aspirational. Honestly, good for her.
If you can't plushie yourself,
how in the hell are you going to plushie somebody else? Can I get an amen in here?
Amen.
This is the end of this episode.
I would agree with that.
This is the end of this episode. Yes. Before we go, you can find more of this and more of this, what is happening right now, on Patreon. That's patreon.com/iced pod. The wonderful people over there, again, keep our lights on and help us help people and causes that are in need. Megan, do you want to hit us with that list of just amazing people?
I do. We have not one, but two wonderful Barbaras. Sunny, Erin, Nikki, Joe, Susan, KM, In Spirit, I Am Always Throwing Plushies Out of Getty Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys so very much. Megan, if people want to find you on the internet, where can they do that?
You can find me at MeganKelleher3 on Twitter and Instagram if you want to. I don't post there a lot. I post like one picture of my cat a year. So if that's, you know, if that's interesting to you, go for it. How about you, Netta?
You can find me at Netta Marie. That's N-E-D-A Marie on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow me at N_ice skating on Instagram if you want to see me skate. I'm going back. I've been kind of back, but I'm starting like regular practice in a couple of weeks. I'm very excited. You can also find both of us at Iced Tea Pod everywhere, but mostly on Twitter, also Instagram, but we mostly do Twitter. You can find us on Patreon, like we said. You can buy us a coffee at buymeacoff.ee/iced tea pod. We're everywhere and we are just happy to interact with y'all. So find us somewhere. Say hi.
Say hi. We love saying hi. And we don't love saying bye, but we have to. Bye.
Beautiful. Goodbye, everyone. Stay safe. Love you.